That one last time just popped and clicked and all that stuff. Every time I tried to speak into it, I kind of felt like I had to keep moving back away from it. Well, it's an honor to be here. As I was telling you, I can't think of your name, the music industry this morning. This is home to me. This is where I grew up as a teenager and was in the other church. We used to sit on the back two rows, all the youth did, and kind of made that our spot. So always coming here is always like coming home. I just thank y'all for that privilege. So let's pray as we get started. Most gracious Heavenly Father, it is a privilege to be able to stand in this pulpit. It's an honor to be called to be your servant, to be one who gets to speak your word and to teach your word. So I do pray that today, Lord, that you'll set a guard over my lips, that you'll take control of my mouth, and that you'll use it to bring glory and honor to you. Father, that this message may be a word of encouragement, a word that just brings people peace and grace, and may it be a message, Lord, that you're honored with. I do thank you and praise you, and it's in the precious name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. We're going to look at John chapter 8. It's a familiar story, one that you'll know well. And this morning, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. So it's going to read a little bit differently, but I just like the way that it kind of tells the story. You know, sometimes I don't really remember a whole lot as a growing up of hearing about sermons about grace. And what is grace? Why do we need grace? Why does God give grace? Well, the reason is that God gives us grace because grace is choosing to live our lives free from the condemnation of the world and the accuser, Satan. And I promise you, he is alive and well. All of us need grace. The reason why is because we are our own worst enemies. We probably accuse ourselves of more things than anything else. So, you know, why should we ask God for grace if we're not giving grace? So I think it's so important that we understand exactly what grace is. So that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at a story about grace, about how to live our lives free from those who accuse and those who God uses or who Satan uses instead to be the silver-tongued messengers of defeat and failure in our lives. And we all have them. Sometimes we are our own worst messengers of defeat and failure. We tell ourselves how bad that we are. So today I want us to read this passage of Scripture in John chapter 8, starting with verse 1. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. And as he was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman to him who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" That was a trick question all the way, because whatever Jesus said, they could hold it against him. If Jesus said, she broke the law of Moses, go ahead and stone her, then Jesus is not showing what he has been preaching and teaching, the love of God. If he does say, no, don't stone her, then he goes against Moses' law, because in the law of Moses, for the act of adultery, they were to be stoned. So it's a trick question. It's a trick question that they're trying to get him to cause him to be discredited. Now look on in verse 6. They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dirt with his finger. And they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis of accusing him. See exactly what I said. If he says, don't stone her, then he breaks the law of Moses. And that's not what they wanted. That's not what Jesus would do. He would be condoning sin. You know, God doesn't condone sin. God gives us the way to live without sin. He gives us the way to be sin-free and to live our lives in such a way that we don't have to worry about what the accuser says. But if Jesus said to stone her, then that shows his lack of concern for women. And we know from the Bible that Jesus was very concerned about people. People was his message, and the love of people is why he came. Jesus knew they were trying to trap him. He knew they were trying to discredit him. That's what they'd been doing all along. So what Jesus does is not uncommon for him. He stooped. He knelt down. He descended lower than anyone else, beneath the accusers, beneath the people, beneath the woman. And Jesus, he stooped often if you read the Bible. You see, he stooped down and washed the feet of the disciples when their feet needed to be washed. He stooped down to embrace and to bless the children that they brought to him. He stooped down to lift Peter out of the water when Peter was sinking. He knelt in the garden to pray. And his final act was he stooped under the weight of the cross as he carried it for us to take our punishment, to take our sin. I love the way that Jesus responded to these accusers. He didn't stare at that woman to embarrass her. He didn't call out the leaders. Instead, he stooped down and started writing in the dirt. Look at verse 7. They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. Now, we don't have the privilege to know what he was writing. Maybe he was writing something in the dust that got their attention, that made them realize what they were doing or wrong. Maybe it was what he had said that convicted these men of their sins and convicted them to leave. But look at verse 9. And when the accuser heard this, they slipped away, one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd. Those name callers, those accusers, they shut their mouth slowly, one by one. They opened their hands, and they released those stones and let them drop to the ground, and they walked away. Why the sudden change? We really don't know, but maybe they felt guilt for Jesus saying what he said, "Let the one who is without sin cast the first stone." I don't know. Maybe it was something that he was writing. But whatever it was, the only people that were left was a sinner and a Savior, Jesus and the woman. Look at verse 10. Then Jesus stood up again and said to this woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Jesus is offering her grace. He doesn't condemn her. He doesn't call out what she's done. He doesn't cast stones at her. He simply says to her, "Go and live your life. Leave the past. Receive my grace. Take it and let it be a part of you." And we know that people need grace. I need it. You need it. We need to give it to others as well. You and I have messed up more times than I can say for myself. I've messed up so many times I couldn't even attempt to count them on my hands or on my toes. There's a lot more than that out there. We've all done it. We've all messed up. But every time we mess up, God forgives us. He is faithful to do that. He is faithful and merciful to forgive us our sins. How many times have you heard, "Well, you're not good enough. You need to do that better. You're never going to improve. You're never going to make it. You're going to fail again. You always fail. You're constantly failing. You're constantly making mistakes." You've heard those voices. At some point in time, we've all heard those voices of the accuser. And often those voices are us, ourselves, condemning us in our head, talking to ourselves, trying to make us to see these mistakes. But, you know, every time the moral police shows up, either within us or they're speaking to us, all that they're trying to do is to pass judgment on us, or to pass judgment on ourselves And we don't need to be doing that. We need to be instead letting the grace of God take everything, every mistake, every failure, every fault. God's grace covers it. That's why it's so amazing. That's why it's so wonderful. That's why we sung about it this morning. What Jesus did for us was extend to us grace. He gave it to us at the cross. So when that moral police shows up, when that day after day or hour after hour, that accuser is relentless, don't let him get to you. Because that's Satan's job. Satan wants to condemn you. Satan wants you to look down on yourself. Because Satan's condemnation does not lead to repentance and to redemption. It leads to being beat up. It leads to feeling bad. It steals your joy. It robs you of your peace. It takes away your dreams. And why I know that Jesus understood that is later on in the chapter of John, just a few chapters over, this is what he calls Satan. He calls him a thief who come to steal, kill, and destroy. And you know what's so bad? Satan gone out and deputized a bunch of folks. Either religious folks, non-religious folks, teachers, parents, somebody. But Satan has deputized them to be his silver-tongued messengers of poison. And they use these words in a way that make us look at ourselves and feel bad. You know, sometimes it's our friends that dredge up the past and make us take a look at ourselves and make us feel bad. Oftentimes, it's parents who are the kids' worst enemy because of the words that they choose to say. Well, can't you make me proud? Why don't you ever do anything right? Are you just totally stupid? What is wrong with you? Get your act together. Come on now. We've heard those words. I've heard those words. They come out of folks' mouth before they ever even think about it. And they're words that are words of condemnation. And if you let that silver-tongued devil or Satan be used, they will cause you to feel bad about yourself. They'll cause you to look at yourself and to make you wallow in the mud. He'll drag you down the road, letting the dust overcome if you will allow that to happen. It's up to you to stand up to that accuser. And instead of being condemned, let grace be what takes it. Let grace overcome. Let grace fill your life. Let grace lead you to forgive those who use those words of condemnation. The accuser doesn't have the last word. His messengers are going to fail in what they attempt to do because Jesus is the victor. He won the victory for you and I. And that's why Paul wrote these words in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's grace. That's grace. If you don't remember anything else I say today, remember Romans 8:1. And when you feel like you're beating yourself up or you feel like others are beating you up, read that scripture passage. Memorize it. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Don't let the accuser get to you. Don't let his messengers pull you down. Instead, stand on what Jesus did for you. Jesus stooped low for you. He died for you. He was laid low into the grave. But guess what? He stood up. He faced the accuser. He declared that he is the victor. And today he is still doing that to those who have been saved by grace through faith. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you don't have to listen to these accusers. You don't have to stand there and let them berate you and belittle you. Stand up in the name of Jesus and tell yourself, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Quit beating yourself up when you make a mistake. We all make them. Probably made one or two this morning before I got up and got over here. But you know, when we do that, we ask the Lord to forgive us. It says in His Word, if you're faithful to confess your sins, He's faithful to forgive them. It tells us he cast our sin as far as the east is from the west. You see, that's what God wants you to understand and to know. Not to live as condemned, but to live as the righteous, the one who has been set free because of what Christ did for us. He won the victory, not Satan. Satan's defeated, but he's still roaring like a lion. But you know what? His teeth have all been yanked out by who? Jesus. We don't have to let him beat us up or bite us or tear us up. We have within us the power to say, no, I'm not going to let that accuser or let me myself and my thoughts beat me up. Instead, I'm going to stand as the victor that Jesus has called me to be, the one who has overcome, the one who is going to achieve my goals. You know, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is our great high priest. He sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, making intercessions for us. And because we have that, with full assurance of faith, we know that once we have been washed by Jesus Christ, we have been condemned and redeemed from this fallen world. You have been set apart to be used by Jesus. So grasp onto the fact that grace is more than the forgiveness of sin. Grace is more than salvation. It's how you can live the abundant life that Jesus has called you to live. When you understand and remember that by Jesus' righteousness, you've been set free, you're no longer condemned. In the Chinese language, what I love is the word for righteousness. And the word for righteousness, you know, they write their words vertical. Well, in the vertical words, the way the Chinese write it, the word for righteousness is two characters. One is a lamb and the other is a person. And that's how God sees us. He sees us through the lamb who gave his all for us, to set us free, to not be condemned, to not let those messengers of Satan beat us up. We have the power within us to live the abundant life. Don't listen to those accusers. Don't let those silver-tongued messengers, don't let those thoughts in your head pull you down and beat yourself up. You have been set free to live abundantly, joyfully, with peace in this world. Yes, it's a fallen world. Yes, there's things that pull us down. There's evil all around. But my friends, you have the Lamb of God protecting you. As was read this morning in the Psalms, He hides us. He covers us. He is always around us. So live the abundant life. And it boils down to this: choices. Who do you trust? Who do you trust? Do you trust and listen to the advocate, or do you trust and listen to the accuser or his messengers? That's your choice, and that's what God calls us to do. Your answer will determine how you live in this world. You'll either live defeated and beat up, or you can live victorious, living the abundant life that God's called us to live. God's grace allows you to make that choice. God's grace gives you the ability to overcome the world. God's grace lets you live abundantly. And that's what God desires for you. He doesn't desire that you beat yourself up. He doesn't desire that you let others beat you up. He desires that you live abundantly, free from the condemnation that comes at you in this world. So this morning, I want you to understand, grace is more than salvation. But grace is also how you receive salvation. The Bible is very clear in the fact that it says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. It's not some difficult, hard task. It's the matter of believing by faith and letting God's grace cover all the rest. Because it's by grace and grace alone you can receive the gift of Jesus. And if you've never received that gift, I know that this morning as we sing, I'd be glad to tell you about it. your family, your friends, these deacons in this church, they too would love to share with you what grace can do in your life. So don't hold back. Let God's grace reveal to you His gift of love, His freedom, His peace, and His joy. Lord Jesus, I humbly bow before You today to say thank You for grace. I don't know how I'd make it through any and every day if it wasn't for grace. We all stumble. We make mistakes. Lord, I'm probably the world's worst about beating myself up, saying words that cause me to want to fall. But You always are right there by me, lifting me up, telling me, no, you're not condemned. You have been set free. So this morning, Lord, if there's one here who needs that encouragement or needs to hear the message of the gospel, we put this in Your hands now. May Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.